Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
Hey, everybody. Before we start this week's show, got to do my weekly plea to please switch over to Lyft. If you haven't done that already, you'd be helping me out a lot if you use the promo code BACKSEATRIDER, all one word. That is good for up to $50 worth of free ride credit. You get $5 off of each of your first 10 rides, and using the code really helps me out a lot in bringing you this podcast for free each week. It's only for new users, the promo code that is, and I really appreciate everyone who has done this already. Again, the code is Backseat Rider, all one word.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com presentation.
In the movie Fight Club, which is one of my favorite movies of all time, there's this famous scene. It's toward the beginning of the movie. It takes place in the parking lot of a bar. And it's where the main character, Tyler Durden, who's played by Brad Pitt, asks the Edward Norton character to hit him as hard as he can.
What do you want me to do? You just want me to hit you?
Come on. Give me just one favor.
Why?
Why? I don't know why. I don't know. Never been in a fight. You?
No, but that's a good thing.
No, it is not. How much can you know about yourself if you've never been in a fight? I don't want to die without any scars.
So the hypothetical that Brad Pitt poses right there, how much can you really know about yourself if you've never been in a fight? I'm not saying that I totally buy into that logic, but at the same time, it's always kind of messed with me because I'm one of those people, I've never really been in a fight. And I want to still agree with Edward Norton that the fact that I've never been in a fight is actually a good thing. But to Tyler Durden's point, what if there is some degree of self-discovery or some degree of discovering a little bit more about what it means to be a part of the human species in having that experience?
Like, how formative or impactful of an experience was that on your life and who you are?
Definitely opened my eyes.
So that was a moment where I went, great, my boundary has been pushed a little bit. I'm not going to go seeking conflict, but this was clearly a moment of growth.
A moment of growth for one rider, an eye-opening moment for another. And this week, we've got an entire cast of passengers who tell us all about their physical altercations that they've been in over the course of their lives. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Backseat Rider, the podcast where I drive Lyft and whoever ends up in the backseat of my car becomes the cast of this show. Now, before we get started, I feel like I should point out, if you're like me and you've never been in a real fight, we're not alone.
People don't really want to pick fights with me. I'm a broad-shouldered 6'3 guy.
Actually, by the time I was in high school, I don't think anyone actually bothered me because I actually started being one of the tall people, and no one messes with the tall people.
I've been close to fights, or like, if I would have took the action to like start it, it would have happened. But like, I usually just like, just be the bigger man.
But most of the people I drove have been in at least one.
Sit back.
I was driving through the uptown neighborhood when a mother and her four young children all piled into the back seat.
Can you tell me about a physical altercation that you've had?
Oh my gosh.
And what the circumstances are.
Haven't we all had one of those before? Sit, stop it.
The mom is 27 years old, and she works as a social worker and part-time as a teacher. And we shared the car for this short ride to a nearby community center where she works after school. And there was just enough time for her to share this story from 5 years ago when she was 22.
It's bad when you have to think of an altercation. But it's been so many.
There have? How many would you say?
Like six throughout my life.
Okay, well, what was the worst one?
The worst altercation was when we were leaving a club, me and my friends, we were leaving a club, and the parking lot was severely jam-packed, so I accidentally hit a man's car because I was reversing out of the parking lot. Like I said, it was so crowded. It was so packed.
Yeah.
So I kind of like tapped his car, his bumper with my rear bumper.
Uh-huh.
So he got out the car and he took off his belt and he used the buckle and he just beat my windshield out. And it was like glass was shattered. It was flying everywhere. And so like me and my girlfriends, we got out. We just like kicked his butt like really bad. Because he like he took off his belt. He was using the buckle. He just started like cracking my windshield. It was just glass was flying everywhere. It was really bad.
So you guys got out and you kicked his ass?
Yeah. It was like 5-1. Yeah. So we like scratching him and like it was really bad.
Did you get
so
him pretty good?
Yeah. So the police came and we were playing the like we were really the victim. So we was like, you know, we were defenseless, you know, we'd had no choice but to get out and like beat him down. So yeah, that was the worst one, only because like the cops were called and it was really bad. I had never went
how badly was he hurt?
He was pretty bad, but he didn't have to go to the hospital. He was like scratched up really bad and like
was he
pulled
bleeding?
His hair. He was, like, from the scratches, he was bleeding from the scratches and stuff. We couldn't, like, really just beat him up like a man, but we, like, scratched him and, like, pulled his dreads out and stuff. So,
you did pull his dreads out?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was so mad about my car. I was so mad.
Yeah, so who, did you have to pay for your car damage?
He had to pay.
To pay?
Yeah, the police made him pay. They told him he had to pay for it.
And did he?
Yes, he did. We took him to court, everything. Yeah. So, thankfully, there was no charges against me.
The police said it was self-defense, and the man with the belt didn't pursue charges either. And, unfortunately, they all got out of the car before I could really explore whether she learned anything from that whole ordeal. However, this next rider, he's a 26-year-old opera singer here in Chicago. He needed a ride from the Mag Mile up to Lakeview, so there was a lot more time to dive deeper into this topic. I picked him up right on Michigan Avenue, just north of the river.
Have you ever been in a physical altercation of any kind? And if so, what is the story behind it?
Yeah, I have. I've been in actually numerous physical altercations. And funny of which, I'm a Canadian. And Canada isn't like this beautiful, peaceful place that everyone thinks it is, where everyone's super friendly. You definitely get your fun characters. But so, let's see. I was mugged. That's a good story. It's actually a very good story. I was mugged. And so I was walking home from work. I was working at Subway at the time. This was in high school. I had just finished being a year in the infantry reserves. And infantry is like your version of the Marines.
Okay.
And so I had just finished being an infantier, as they would say, for a year. And I realized, it isn't my thing. I didn't like my fellow privates that were there. The atmosphere was great, but I just didn't like the people. Because I'm more of an artsy kind of fellow. But so, I'm walking home from Subway. I'd also been studying martial arts for a decade, so I'm pretty, like, comfy with myself. But I'm not the biggest guy in the world. And I'm walking home, and underneath a street lamp, I see this guy just saying this beer kid. And I think I recognize him. It's a guy that lives close to me, because I... at the time, was still living with my parents.
What city is this in?
This is in Victoria, British Columbia, Canada.
Okay.
And so I'm walking, and I see him, like, point and mumble something at someone else who I can't see. And then he leaves. So I'm like, this is weird. And then I pass by the light, turn left, and I'm walking home. As I'm walking, I hear footsteps behind me. And then I just, like, kind of glance a little bit, and I see these two guys that are now following me. And they're trying to keep up, so I decide... okay, let's just see if they're following me or it's just coincidence. And I start to walk a little faster, and they start walking a little faster because they're trying to keep a certain distance. And then, this is where the story starts to get a little crazy and funny. I'm just about home, and then I hear, fuck you! And I think, wait, what? And so I thought, okay, I'm like pretty close to home, so I'm not like too nervous. I'm pretty comfortable with myself. And then I just start joking around with the guys, and they say... hey, fuck you, man. I said, for what? I'm just walking here. And then they were getting all uncomfortable, and they come up, and they surround me. And then they mug me, and they try to grab stuff. But in the end, I defended myself, and I broke one of their noses. And the other guy, I just got him on the ground and kicked him really hard. And then the story gets funnier from there, because I was... probably about like 20 steps from my house. And I tried to avoid the conflict, but when one of them came up and grabbed me by the throat, that's when I thought, okay, no, I need to defend myself. Because the first thing you learn in any traditional martial arts is that the last thing is you want to get into a fight. You're taught how to defend yourself, but that's the last option. Uh-huh. Not everyone lives by that ideal, but you know, you try. So then my parents hear the commotion because there's some yelling, and my dad comes out. Now my dad is a retired vet, and my dad had been training almost twice as long as I had. So dad comes out, he gets into the fray, and then these kids are just knocked senseless. And similar to the United States, we also have a problem with police. And so in Victoria, there's clearly not enough to do, and there are way too many police officers. So someone called in that there was a man assaulting some young teenagers when these kids were in their, like, they were either 19, 20.
And how old were you?
And I was 17 at the time.
Okay.
And so someone calls, and then within, like, minutes, two police cars come, and the cops don't even take a second to see what's up, or they try to analyze. They just tackle my dad, and they start beating up my dad. So now there's this situation of these kids had mugged me and assaulted me. I defended myself. My dad comes out thinking, like, what's happening to my son? Because I have older sisters, but I'm the only boy. And so then it was all crazy, and after a long time, my dad gets arrested, and then we all had to go to the station. It was this long, crazy night. But that's probably, I think, my... In the end, no charges were given, and the boys where I think we're scared shitless, and they thought, I'm never going to try to do this again. At least that was the look in their eye, because it was very funny seeing two 20-year-old boys crying their eyes out, being like, we're so sorry!
Is that what they were doing at the police station?
They were. They were very, very scared and very sorry.
So what did they... When you say, okay, they tried to mug you, or they mugged you, what does that mean? Like, they're like, give me your stuff? Like,
They came out saying, what do you got... what do you got in your pockets? And I actually remember joking around with him. I said, well, I have 75 cents here. That was a tip from work. I have a cell phone, but I feel like that would be useless since you don't know my password to get in. I have house keys, but that's also awkward because you don't know where I live. And they're like, shut up! Shut the fuck up! And they're like, okay, well, where's your wallet? And that's the funniest thing was I didn't bring my wallet to work because it was awkward to, like, hold... I used to have this big, fat wallet, and it was the most awkward thing to hold in my back pocket. And then when I would sit, it would just be like I'd be sitting on this uncomfortable rock, so I was clearly, like, not going to bring it to work. Plus, I wasn't needed, because I would just get free food at Subway. So then I go, well, this is all the money I have. Would you like it? And they slapped it out of my hand, and I thought, well, that's a good waste of three quarters. And they're like, shut the fuck up, man! Don't you know you're being mugged? And then from there, one of them got annoyed, and he took his skateboard from off his back and was holding it with his two hands as if he was going to swing it. And then the other one came up and put his hand on my throat.
And that's when you
and
really
that's when I was like,
back.
Okay, slap, hit him in the face. And then the other one came up from behind. And then the one thing I found that was very interesting, because I'd had all this training, but this is probably for me one of those amazing experiences that all these drills started to come through, and I just felt like I was on autopilot. It was a very, very fun situation. And I got, like, a little hurt, but nothing, like, crazy.
So those martial arts lessons, which he took from age 6 all the way to age 16, came up huge.
It's like when you're driving, you don't think of how you're going to just step on the gas and the brake. You have to clearly be aware of what's going on. But, like, the little thing is when we had defense of how do you defend from a frontal choke, how do you defend from a rear choke. So it was just little things like that. I was like, oh, this is very applicable. So that was actually kind of interesting. But again, in those situations, you just learn a lot about yourself and how much you can actually take. Because I think, especially in this society, many people can be very coddled in their existence because parents and relatives and family are all very worried that no one wants to feel pain and no one wants to be upset or be thrown out of their comfort zone. But maybe this is a pessimistic view on life, but life kind of is just that. It is pain and growth. I mean,
he also says he learned a great deal about his father that night.
Well, I learned that my dad, clearly, he is like pop a bear, like when you see a grizzly bear when they get very territorial. That was Dad. All of a sudden, this, because he's smaller than I am, but he just turned into this vicious creature that I'd never seen before, and it was just amazing seeing a parental figure like just step up like that. I was like, wow, I feel totally safe. But so that was a moment where I went, great, my boundary has been pushed a little bit. I'm not going to go seeking conflict, but this was clearly a moment of growth. And I was like, okay, great.
How much of a experience of bonding with your dad did that turn out to be in retrospect?
It was a huge bonding experience. It was very crazy seeing all the vicious things that happened to him, the way he was taken down, the way that the cops were, because there was like six cops on him just kicking him, and I'm yelling, trying to figure this out, and I was going, oh my God. And it was clearly police brutality, and in the end, nothing came out of it, because I thought, oh, well, we didn't realize, and I was like, no, you're clearly not. But so that was a moment that my dad and I still bond about, that we still talk about it, and I know that my dad totally has my back no matter what. I knew it before then, but that just kind of solidified it.
I'm not sure if it was just the people I happened to be driving this week, but there seemed to be a lot of fight stories from middle school.
Children are evil.
In middle school, some kids were like, there's these like these bullies or sort of bullies. They'll make fun of everyone. And then I guess that day they were picking on me, and I wasn't having it that day.
Threw a rock to the point, like, I started bleeding. And then that's when I actually had to, like, start fighting.
Perhaps there's just something going on where things between elementary and middle school turn from sort of a childlike, don't know any better type of aggression into something a bit different. And this next passenger, he's 24 years old, works in a law office helping immigrants get their paperwork. He also brought up a couple memories from 7th grade.
I don't know, so this was in middle school, and we were just all really dumb, because, you know, that's how it is. And we had a game where we used to, like, just give each other dead legs until one person gave up.
What's a dead leg?
A dead leg is when you just, like, you hit somebody in, like, the really fleshy part of the thigh.
Uh-huh.
And just, like, right on the muscle. And, like, a Charlie horse, have you ever heard of
it? Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay.
So, yeah, so you just, like, hit the person, you just exchange blows until somebody, like, gives up. And then one time where this just like escalated with a guy who was like my good friend.
That same friend seemed to always be letting things escalate.
Yeah, he just didn't hesitate to like fight people over dumb stuff. So for example, like one day he got a haircut that was just really, really bad. And he came to school like already extremely defensive about it. Like I remember he came in because we had like our first class we had together. He came in, he was like, oh, don't, no one say a word about my haircut. Like, unprompted, you know?
What was the haircut? Like, what did it look like?
I mean, it's really hard to explain. Just, it almost looked like, just like really dopey, like bowl cut, you know, like a Beatles type.
Bad haircut on this particular kid, dangerous combo that day.
He was really defensive about it. It was kind of interesting. And then, you know, the day went on, and, like, we had gym at the very end of the day, and to get to, like, the gymnasium, there was this very, like, narrow hallway with, like, painted concrete, like, brick, and the smallest kid in our grade, like, we were all walking down, and the smallest kid in our grade went up to Larson, and this was the guy's name.
What was his name?
Larson.
Larson, okay.
Went up to him and was just, like, oh, you know, he said something stupid, like, your haircut makes you look like a monkey or something. And this guy, Larson, like, picked him up and threw him into the wall. Like, he threw him, like, a good 5 feet. It was pretty crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Oh, yeah, I saw it. Yeah, everyone saw it.
What went through your mind when you saw that?
You know, I don't know. I think it was just the state of, like, I was pretty shocked, to be honest with you.
This kid, Larson, provoked into some kind of furious rage. And it was interesting, just before that rider got in, I had dropped off a college student who told me about a situation, again, 7th grade, where a similar thing happened, but she was the one who was provoked. by a girl in her class named Amanda.
I was maybe like 13, and this girl had, we had been, I guess, been like real like petty, like kiddish type of things. We were going back and forth for a while, just about anything, you know, like she didn't like my friends, I didn't like her friends, just like real kiddish stuff. And one day, and milk, I guess one of her friends had like, I guess, dared her to dump her milk on me, and she did it. And I don't even remember what happened next. Like, I just remember getting up and slapping her in the face with one of those plastic trays, and it broke in half over her face. And then, like, I, like, hopped on top of her and was, like, going back and forth, like, just wailing her. And then I remember taking off my shirt and, like, wringing it on her and then walking myself to the principal's office and, like, sitting there for the rest of the day until my dad came and got me. Because I was just so over her. I was just so done. It was just one of those things where I was so done. And then after I sat there and I was just so happy. I felt at peace. And it was the weirdest thing. I told my dad, I'm like, Dad, I really don't feel sorry for doing this, and I'm not going to apologize. And he's like, Jessica, I could see you don't, and I'm not going to ask you to.
Her dad wasn't mad because it was the first time that she'd ever gotten in a fight like that. And even all these years later, she remembers being surprised at how aggressively she reacted. She said it was almost involuntary.
Like, I'm a nice person, but I'm very calm and collected. But man, when she poured that milk on me, it was like a flash. I had flipped so quick and was like, remember just being on top of her, just like just whacking her in the face, like like with my hand. I was just
in the tray.
In the tray, yeah. Well, I smacked her with the tray first.
How much damage did you do?
I remember, no, I fractured her nose and busted her lip. And I remember her coming to school with like half a black eye or something.
The girl Amanda never messed with my passenger again. She apparently kept a pretty low profile after that incident, but it didn't turn out well for my passenger either. She wound up getting 4 days detention and wound up having to sit out the entire basketball season that year, even though she was captain of the team.
What do you feel like you learned from the experience, the altercation with Amanda?
You know, being so young, I don't necessarily look back on it like I learned something. I look back on it as a character thing. Like, I have had, like, I look back on it like I have had, like, I have been so, I've been the way that I am today forever. Like, I can't no one ever say, like, I switched up, like, I'm a different person, like, Jessica's done this or that. Like, no, I am the exact same person I was even back in, because I'm still as calm, as I think what I have is more patience now.
All right, the passengers that I've driven so far, they've had some pretty intense physical altercations over the years, but nothing that I'd categorize as life-threatening. That is until I picked up a hairstylist who lives in Roscoe Village.
And I had this adrenaline rush after he threw me down, so I turned around and I started screaming.
That story and what she learned from it, plus, middle of this week, my older brother Dano, he reminded me that I actually was involved in a physical altercation.
And I saw him, like, tackle or push you, Anthony, and something just snapped.
We'll get to that story, what led up to my brother snapping, and both of our takeaways from the whole ordeal in just a minute. But first, I want to tell you about one of the sponsors that is making it possible for me to bring you Backseat Rider for free each week, and that is TrueCar, which I would highly recommend if you're in the market for a new or a used car right now. And I speak from experience on this. When my wife and I bought our last car, we used TrueCar because it lets you see what other people paid for the same car that you are looking for. That way, you go into the dealership with confidence. You don't have to worry that you're going to get taken advantage of. And the other thing about it is, once you register with TrueCar and configure the exact car you're looking for, you'll get actual pricing on an existing vehicle. Now, that may sound kind of obvious, but a lot of times people configure cars online only to later find out that car doesn't actually exist at any dealerships close by to them. TrueCar solves that, and again, you will see what other people wound up paying for that vehicle, so you have all the info you need. Plus, TrueCar users wind up saving on average $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Hi, I'm Tavis Smiley. You may know me from my PBS talk show. I'm excited to tell you that I have a brand new podcast that you can hear on podcastone.com starting this July. I'll discuss the latest in politics, sports, music, and much more with big thinkers, artists, and celebrities. I'll also share my own opinions and answer some of your questions. So join the conversation this July on the Tavis Smiley podcast, coming to podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
All right, before we get back to the show, quick heads up about a TV show that I'm really excited to check out as soon as I get a TV again. This is the fourth season of a show called Alone. It's on History. And there have been a lot of survival shows over the years, but Alone is different because, as the name implies, the survivalists who are competing on it, they are truly alone. There's no camera crews with them or anything. They're actually taught how to film themselves. So there's five competing teams this season. Father, sons, brothers, one married couple, and the goal is to outlast the other teams. And it all happens up on North Vancouver Island, where these folks have to fend off predators, they got to deal with crazy weather, and they're only given a small handful of items to get by with. So this isn't only a test of endurance and ingenuity, it's as much about mental toughness, depending on your partner to survive, resilience, suffering, all those kinds of things that really reveal who they are at the core. So check out the newest season of Alone, Thursdays at 10, 9 Central on History. Middle of the day on a Thursday, got a ride request from a 36-year-old hairstylist. She needed a ride to the salon where she works. It was in Wicker Park, pretty much a straight shot down a street called Damon.
I was actually assaulted in Andersonville.
Oh my gosh, what happened?
I was getting out of, this was like 10 years ago now, and I was getting out of a cab. It was like midnight, and we had been out for drinks, and my girlfriend was like, make sure you get your mace out. So I did, and I was walking so I could smoke a cigarette on the way to the apartment, and someone came up behind me and picked me up like that and started to carry me into the alley, like running. And I took my mace and I just went like that. I didn't even squirt it, and he just threw me on the ground and ran away.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, it was so crazy. So
you never even pressed the button?
I didn't even press the button. He just saw it and just threw me on the ground. But I mean, we were like inches away from the alley. I had this adrenaline rush after he threw me down. So I turned around and I started screaming, and he was this tiny little Mexican guy. So I called the police, and these two women cops showed up, and they were just pissed, you know. So they never, as far as I know, they never caught him or anything, but there was a police car on my street until I moved. So they were really awesome about it.
And it still haunts her to think about what could have happened if she didn't have that mace.
I think it was an assault, because he could have gotten my purse. He could have taken anything, but he picked me up and was running with me. So he didn't care about, in my opinion, he didn't care about anything I had. Mm-hmm. So the scary thing is, what if I didn't have my mace? You know, what he could have done in the alley. And so I actually did, I was on the news. They interviewed me. One of my clients has this mace company. It's not the same mace company that I used, but he asked me to be interviewed for women's rights and for, you know, protection and stuff. So I was on the news and they interviewed me about it. That was like a couple weeks after it happened. So
I was going to ask you, what would you say your takeaway was from, like, how formative or impactful of an experience was that on your life and who you are?
Definitely opened my eyes, because I'm from a very small town in the Southwest. So it's like cows in the street, and so moving to the city was, I kind of was like, had blinders on, I feel like. Like, I wouldn't have had my mace out if my friend didn't tell me to take it out. I was like, oh, it's fine. Nothing's going to happen to me. So now I'm very careful. Like, if I take an Uber or a Lyft or whatever, I have drop them off right at my door. I always have my mace. And I don't just feel like, oh, I can just sashay down the street and everything's going to be okay. You know, especially being 26, I could have been stumbling and maybe he saw that, or, you know, saw me light a cigarette, so I was sidetracked. But, I definitely am very adamant with, like, my friends to get pepper spray or mace and to be more aware.
And another takeaway for her was discovering that she has this extra gear within her. that she wasn't previously aware of.
I think that the Heather that I thought before would have just like froze, maybe, where the fact that I didn't even think and I, you know, put my mace behind me, I don't even hardly remember doing it. It was just like you said, fight or flight. And then the fact that after the fact, I turned around to see what he looked like, or if I could, and like screamed, and I was like thinking of chasing him. So it was like, and again, that was just like subconscious. Like I wasn't planning on that or anything.
Right. And you wouldn't have pegged yourself as the kind of person that actually chase someone who's assaulting you.
Like not a perpetrator. Not at all.
But that was your instinct. Was it to chase?
Yeah. Absolutely.
How surprising is that?
Shocking. I still can't believe it because, you know, I'm such a baby that like you would think I would just be like curl in a ball or something. But yeah, that was just my initial instinct was not to let him get away.
Now, a few hours after I met that woman, this is later that Thursday evening, I was headed out to an event and I was going to be drinking, so I called a Lyft. And as you can probably guess, I usually chat up my drivers when I am the backseat rider, especially when there's a topic fresh in my mind. And apologies in advance for the audio quality of this next interview. Didn't take my gear with me, didn't have it. But I decided to take out my iPhone and ask him about physical altercations.
Since I was a shorty, I've been getting into fights.
This guy's 25 years old, and he grew up in one of the tougher south suburbs of Chicago. And turns out, of all the passengers I'd talked to about fights, it was my Lyft driver that had the most experience.
Yeah, you're going to lose some fights, then you're going to win some.
He told me he got into fights pretty much every year from second grade all the way through freshman year in high school.
One summer, we was playing basketball, and this dude that lived at my crib, we playing basketball and shit, and he did something. Matter of fact, he was losing in the game, because, you know, shit, I mean, just get mad when they losing and shit. Mm-hmm. So shit, he get mad and shit. So I think something happened where he went up for a layup, and he pushed me when he went up for the layup or whatever. So when he pushed me, you know what I'm saying? I bust off his ass. I hit his ass, and then we start fighting. But we wasn't like, you know what I'm saying, throwing real hands. He ain't get to hit me as much as he did, but before he could hit me like another time, I knocked his ass out and he was way bigger than me.
That fight happened when he was 14, and I could tell he's still kind of proud of the fact that he beat up a bigger kid. But on the flip side, he's also suffered some losses. One loss in particular that still haunts him almost 20 years later.
All right, what about one of the ones you lost?
One of the ones I lost.
Yeah, you said there's always some you lose.
Shit, I remember one I lost. Shit, I was in the, what grade I was in? Now, this was in fourth grade, though.
Okay.
This was in fourth grade. Shit, I don't know how we got into it or what, but all I know is we ended up at my crib, and then I'm running and shit. Dude chasing me and shit. So I'm like, damn, I'm cornered. I can't go nowhere. So shit, we had to fight and shit. Now that's something that still, you know what I'm saying, that still mess with me though, because that shit was in front of my sisters.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? And like when I look back on that shit, I be thinking like, why the fuck was I running from that bitch ass? Because I ain't had nobody teach me, like, you know what I'm saying, like real masculine shit, like don't run from no nigga and all that shit. I ain't really had nobody teach me like a lot of shit, so you know what I'm saying, I had to like become my own man and shit and learn shit on my own. So I think back to this day like, why the fuck was I running from that nigga? I let that nigga bust my lip and in front of my two sisters.
So based on that, in his mind, even today, male role models are supposed to be the ones that teach you to never back down from a fight. Now, about halfway through producing this episode, my biggest male role model, my dad, who would never have given me that advice, he asked me what I was working on this week. And when I told him the topic of the show was physical altercations, he told me two stories from his childhood that I had never heard, never knew about these. And when my older brother Dan stopped by later in the week, he agreed to retell us on tape.
It was in seventh grade, and there was this kid named Brian. And the East Chicago, Indiana Harborside, where I grew up, was very multi-ethnic. And this kid came up from the South. He was a white kid. And he actually looked like a skinny, short Elvis. He had kind of a pompadour. Good-looking kid. He was about my height, maybe just a little smaller. And he would wear blue jeans and, like, black leather jacket and look really mean. And he was a tough guy. And I don't know what happened, but in gym class one day, he was taunting me or pushing me around. And I don't know what got into me, but I took preemptive action before things escalated. And I just leaped on top of him and I skidded him across the gym floor. And I had him pinned down. And I was kind of shocked at myself because that's not me. And people broke us apart, or the gym teacher came in. I don't know. But then he looked at me and he says, "I'm going to kick your ass after school."
The fight itself did have an impact on my dad, but he said that being on the receiving end of Brian's threat, that was what really stuck with him.
The rest of the day, the rest of the afternoon, I was just unrattled because the uncertainty of thinking someone was going to jump me after school or any time, just my looking around thinking, is he here? Is he going to be at that corner? And I kind of hurried home because I didn't want to risk the chance of encountering him. And that's all I thought about all night. And then the next day in gym class, he was there. And I went up to him and I just said, "I'm willing to forget about the whole thing if you are." And I stuck out my hand and he goes, "Okay." And we just shook hands and that was it. And then a few days later, I saw that he had a big old scab where I'd given him that floor burn. But what I learned about that was that I could not stand the uncertainty of confrontation. I could not live with the anxiety of not knowing when something bad was going to happen.
Something that to this day hasn't really changed.
Yeah, if there's something bad, you know, if there's something negative, I'm like the Godfather. I need to hear bad news immediately.
Right around that same time period, middle school, 13 years old or so, my dad got in his only other fight.
Okay. I got all my fighting done in junior high. But I was walking home with a couple friends. This was winter. And then there were two or three older guys across the street, and they started throwing snowballs at us. And we threw some snowballs back, and that's when they decided to attack us. So they ran across the street to, quote, get us. And the two guys I was with, who I thought were my friends, they just took off. And for whatever reason, I didn't run fast enough, or I thought, are they really going to jump me? And they did. They pushed me to the ground. They started kicking me a few times. Well, it wasn't anything big. I mean, it didn't really hurt, but they kind of laughed like, you know, "You idiot." And they kicked me and they punched me. And I was just had my arms up above my head and nothing happened. I didn't cry or it didn't hurt. You know, the only thing that was hurt was my dignity. Not that I had much then or now. But so I caught up to my two friends and I said, what the fuck? You know, why'd you guys take off? And one of them said to me, when he said this, I was dumbfounded. He said, "Oh, we just didn't want to get involved." I thought, you didn't want to get involved. If you don't want to get involved with your friends, you know, who do you get involved with? And I wasn't mad about it. I was just dumbfounded.
A tough lesson about friendship and human behavior.
People are funny and unpredictable, and you know, it's possible that someone who you really rely on is not that reliable.
Yeah. Okay, Dano, you ever been in a physical altercation?
Yeah, and when you asked me, I've done some math here. The last time I got into a fight was the summer of 1994.
Okay.
So it's been 23 years since I've been in a fight. And actually, the fight has to do with you, Anthony, because it was summer school cross country. At New Trier High School, and you know, all the guys in the cross country team would take this summer school class. It was first thing in the morning, and it was more relaxed. Like, we weren't really training for any races, but it was just kind of to kind of keep your chops up and do some running and get out there and have some fun. So we would often play like soccer, or we would play some games. Again, not to be training per se, but just to get out and, you know, be physical. So we were playing this game called Speedball, and I'm not sure many people remember that game, but it was sort of a hybrid of soccer and football, and you play it with a soccer ball. So So you could catch and throw the side. It was really fun. It was, and obviously it was a lot of running involved. And so we were playing it, and this kid on the team, who's a year older than me, his name is Danny. And Danny, everyone went to school with a kid like this, that was really, really competitive in every last situation, whether you're walking around, you know, all race you to the tree, or you're an actual cross-country meet. Like, he wanted to win at everything, okay? He's a really competitive guy. And we're kind of playing this casual game of speedball, summer school cross-country. You know, nothing is at stake. We're just having fun. And he was just being way too aggressive and just really just getting in everyone's faces and playing really too hard. And I was like, yo, you got to calm down. And I saw him, like, tackle or push you, Anthony. And something just snapped, I think, because it was just, you know, blood relatives involved. You know, because we all did cross-country together. And when I saw him take you out, something snapped, and I just went after him. And, you know, I don't know that I actually ever landed like a punch, but we were shoving each other and yelling. And, you know, everyone on the team came over and broke us up right away. And I remember you, like, held me back, and another guy on our team, Joel, held Danny back. And so we were both kind of going after each other. And I was mad for a while, like, after that. I remember it took a couple of days for things to settle down. And I was really mad because he was a year older and he was also the captain of the team. And he had a lot of respect on the team, you know, and so I felt really disrespected. But, you know, I was probably 17 at the time, and he might have been, you know, 18 or something. But we got over it, and it was absolutely fine. And I think my takeaway was, you know, I don't like to have lingering tension. And, you know, I didn't feel good for a while. And, you know, later on in college and, you know, in your early 20s, you're out at a lot of bars and things, and everyone's seen those stupid bar fights. Right. I have never and will never get into any kind of confrontation at a bar or where there's drinking involved. I think guys who get into fights at bars are the biggest frickin' losers out there. You know, I mean, regardless of what happens, like, you know, when alcohol is involved, I just think, you know, guys who fight at bars with other guys are just complete losers. But I also think my takeaway for this is that when you see someone you're related to hurt, I mean, I think that regardless, something just switches and you just lose all sense of composure.
Did you know that you had that gear?
It did surprise me, because I hadn't been in a fight before then, and I haven't been in a fight since then. But I also, that's the only time I've ever seen anyone I was related to get injured, you know, intentionally. And that just snapped. You know, if I ever saw someone do that again, I probably am capable of the same thing.
Right, right. Like, if it was Amy or...
Yeah, if it was like my wife, or if it was, you know, you again, or I know that I'm capable of doing that again. But it really have to be extreme, and I think just the company that I keep and places I go, just nothing really lends itself to there being a fight again.
So, you know Fight Club, where Tyler Durden says to Edward Norton, he goes, how much can you know about yourself? You've never been in a fight. Hit me. Remember that scene?
Yeah.
Do you think he has a point there? Like, that it's part of the human experience,
yeah,
that you gain a certain insight? What do you guys think about that?
I have to say that when I attacked that kid, I kind of felt exhilarated. There's a part of me that did feel exhilarated. And when I was being beat up, there's a part of me that felt like just really, I don't know, like connected with the physical world, even though I was the receiving end of it. So I can see why professional fighters, you know, why they do get, you know, kind of a rush out of it.
Yeah, I see that too, but it's nothing I would ever seek out. I have no desire to be in a fight, and it would take someone, you know, witnessing someone I really care about being hit by or abused by somebody for me to, you know, to have that, you know, that instinct snap. And I know that I would do it again, but hopefully it won't happen anytime soon.
Okay.
Can I give you a quote on Brian? He was attacked again in that gym class. And this time it was by the teacher. What happened was, that was the year that JFK was assassinated, and it happened during gym class, and our teacher came in, Mr. Arzamanian, he came in and he said, "Just want you boys to know that something terrible has happened. The president was shot and killed." And this Brian kid, who was, as I say, you know, just kind of a kind of bad news. I hope he's changed. He said, "Good. I'm glad they shot him." And the gym teacher grabbed him by the neck and threw him against the lockers and says, "Don't you ever wish death on any man." And that lesson was seared in me. And it just made such an impact on me that about 7 or 8 years ago, this is like 30 or 40 years after the incident, there was this dinner for alums of our high school, of that high school, and Mr. Arzamanian was there. He was being honored. And so I went up to him and I said, "I want you to know that I took a lesson from you. You may not remember what happened with Brian and the day JFK was shot." He goes, "Oh yeah, I remember that." I said, "I just want you to know that made a huge impact on me, and thank you."
All right, from my point of view, that incident during Speedball was barely even memorable. I bet I would have forgotten all about it if my brother hadn't brought it up. I don't remember even being that pissed at the guy. I just remember him kind of knocking me hard, but thought it was just part of the game. It was, however, surprising to see my brother spring into action. And thanks, Dano, for having my back. I appreciate it. And I agree. I agree with Dan that for me to ever cross over into that aggressive headspace, which again has never happened to me, it would probably take me witnessing someone physically harming someone I really care about. All right, before I sign off for the week, I want to ask everyone out there listening, have you ever been in a physical altercation? And if so, what did you learn from it? What was the takeaway? You can hit me up on Facebook with the answer. Also, better yet, share it with other listeners of this podcast in the Backseat Rider community group on Facebook. All you have to do is search Facebook groups for Backseat Rider Community. One of the moderators will approve you and join in the discussion. That group has now grown to more than 750 people. It's really cool, so please join. You can also hit me up on Twitter or Instagram. I'm at Anthony Ponce TV, or call the Backseat Rider hotline, or send me an email at backseatrider1@gmail.com if you want to do it that way. All this information is in the show notes for your convenience. Backseat Rider is edited by Bob Gilmartin and produced by me with the help of Louis Kazmarek. Also, thank you so much to WTTW and WTTW.com for their support of this podcast. Don't forget to use my promo code on Lyft when you switch over. Again, it is Backseat Rider, all one word. And as always, look for new episodes every Wednesday on podcast1.com, the Podcast One app. And iPhone users, you can also subscribe to Backseat Rider on Apple Podcasts. Backseat Rider.